Great. Well, as we, by the way, how you doing, Art? Thumbs up. Art's here. You had the procedure? Yeah? Yeah. All right. Art had a procedure to deal with a blockage in his heart on Friday. And we were praying for him, so good to have you with us, sir. Have a little treat for you as we get started. How many are getting just a little bit ready for the snow to be gone? Just a little bit. Yeah, that would be me too. So this morning as we get started, I have a little treat for you.
I'm not shoveling again. I can't go out there.
I'm not going.
Let's just call that weird kid.
I called him. The kid says he's had it.
The whole 5-day forecast is freezing.
What about day 6?
Freezing.
What about day 7? Rob, what is it?
Plus one.
Plus one.
Plus one. Wait so long for something like this.
At Environment Canada, you'll frequently see a plus one somewhere near the end of our 7-day forecast. We put that there to keep you from going to dark places mentally and possibly destroying property.
What are you going to do when it's plus one?
I might get the ice pick and chisel open the back gate.
You? Maybe I'll buy toothpaste and soap.
Personal hygiene, I forgot about that.
We don't know if it'll really be plus one. 7-day forecasting is kind of a sham anyway. Anything past day 5 is just throwing darts. So might as well give you all a reason to hang on.
Well, Thursday's not plus one anymore. It's minus 15.
What about Friday?
Plus one.
Environment Canada, cloudy with a chance of making stuff up.
Yep, plus one. Good, good. Well, we are in a series of messages called Off the Deep End, and if you're just joining us today and wonder what on earth we're talking about, We said last week that oftentimes as the church, we are playing around in the waiting pool of what God has for us when He really wants to call us into the deep end. He wants to call us into deeper places. We said last week that the resurrected Christ, before ascending into heaven, in Luke 24, verse 49, spoke to his disciples and he said, stay in Jerusalem. He gave them a commission. He gave them a job to do, but he said, stay in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high. And in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, when that promise came true, when the disciples were clothed with power from on high, and the Spirit of God came upon the 120 in the room where they were praying, the church was born. Fast forward to North America, 2018. Are we the Spirit-filled, bold, courageous, miracle-working force to be reckoned with that Jesus intended for us to be? And yet, Jesus said we would function the same way He did when He walked on this earth, that we would see supernatural things happen in and through our lives and through our ministries, and that And so he sent us in his authority into every corner of the world. So today we're looking at from management to manifestation. Next week we're going to be going to pathetic to prophetic. Week four, from fate to faith. And week five, from weird to wow. That's where we're going. Wow. So, 1 Corinthians 12 is where we are this morning. If you have your Bibles, First Corinthians 12. And Paul starts this section of his letter to the church in Corinth by saying, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul didn't want the church in Corinth to be a church that didn't know about, function in, or use rightly the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He didn't want a powerless church, but he wanted a powerful church. About the gifts of the Spirit, I don't want you to be uninformed. And Paul goes on over the next three chapters to go into detail about the use of the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts in the church. But you know, we've gotten so good at this church thing that, you know, we've packaged church planting. So if you just do this, 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 and this, you'll have a viable church. Just do this, right? We've got systems for everything, and we need systems for everything, but our systems are so good sometimes we can run a church based on our systems and not even notice that God has left the building. We definitely need to allocate and manage the abilities and talents and resources that God has put in our church. There are incredible gifts and talents and abilities in this church. Many of them not yet tapped into and used. But there are many, many, many gifts in this church. And we need to manage those and we need to organize them. But, you know, these human talents and human abilities and personality traits that are all in this room and can all be redeemed and used for the glory of God are awesome and need to be empowered by the Spirit and used for the good of the church and for the good of the world. But if we begin to see the church as a human organization that simply needs good management, we are in trouble. Because really, what's the difference between us and the Legion or the Optimist Club or anybody else in town? Right? Jesus wants his church to be a supernatural organization / organism, a body that functions and works in the world so that the kingdom of God comes. In Revelation chapter 2, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says this, "I know your deeds, your hard work." Sorry, it wasn't Paul, it was John. Writes to the church in Ephesus, "I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance." You guys are working hard. You guys are doing the job. You're like a well-oiled machine. I know how hard you're working at this thing called the organization of the church. right? This is the words of Jesus being dictated to John to the church in Ephesus. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered, you've endured hardship for my name, and you've not grown weary. Yet, I hold this against you, Jesus says to the church in Ephesus. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Here's the deal. The church in Ephesus, we know a lot about the starting of the church in Ephesus. Paul went there in about 60 AD, and it's recorded in Acts chapter 19, chapter 18. Paul goes to Ephesus, and the Spirit of God, Paul stays there for 3 years. The Spirit of God is poured out in such power that one of the greatest revivals recorded in history happens in Ephesus, and the church is born there. And there are so many miracles happening and so many things happening by the power of the Spirit that it says the entire region of the province of Asia, it's not the same thing as we talk about Asia today, but the Roman province of Asia, the entire province heard the word about Jesus because of what was happening in Ephesus. The entire province comes to Jesus, huge numbers of them, because of what God is doing in Ephesus. And in fact, there's so much anointing and authority spiritually there that people are bringing cloths from Paul, who touched the cloths. They're taking them to other cities, and people are getting healed when they touch the cloth that Paul touched back in Ephesus. I mean, it's an incredible revival going on that started the church in Ephesus. And here is Jesus speaking to the church in Ephesus 40 years later, around 100 AD, 40 years later, and he's saying, you've lost your first love, you've become a well-oiled machine that doesn't need me anymore, and if you're not careful, I'm going to come and take the lampstand, and you will no longer be a viable church. 40 years after a massive revival, and the church is in trouble. So, when we slide, this is to say that this is fairly normal for churches that don't keep the focus on Jesus, keep the focus on his authority and power functioning in the church. It's fairly normal for churches to slide into a place where we're maintaining and managing an organization instead of seeing the manifestation of the Spirit. And so we want to be careful that we don't become that church that can organize anything, you know, but isn't functioning in the power of the Spirit. We don't want to be that church. And so Jesus says to Ephesus, and I think we need to hear this call, repent and do the things you did at first, and if you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place. We've got books and conferences and experts to tell us how to do church. And all those things are good, and we need those things. But much, much more, we need the power of the Spirit of God. And so often, God is not our first go-to. If we're honest, When something troubling happens in our lives, what's the first thing we do? Do we call a friend? Do we send an email? Do we put it on Facebook? You know, what's our first go-to when something happens in our lives? It ought to be going to God first. Not going to God as our backup plan, but going to Him first, right? And as we maintain that God first mindset, we will seek our answers in Him. So I think one of the reasons the North American church is stuck is that we've gotten so good at organizing and managing that we pretty much don't need God anymore. We think. Management is not bad, but it's not enough. The Acts of the Apostles, the book in the Bible called the Acts of the Apostles. We often just call it Acts, but it's the Acts of the Apostles. And chapter 28 ends so abruptly. The last chapter of Acts ends so abruptly, it's like they just ran into a wall and stopped. Here's the last verse of Acts chapter 28, the last verse of the book of Acts, talking about Paul and being imprisoned in Rome. And it says, "For 2 years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." And it just stops. I don't know if the writer had a heart attack in the middle of writing it, or if what happened, but what I really think is that you and I are meant to be Acts chapter 29. That the story of what the Spirit of God wants to do on the earth is still being written, and you and I, right now in this season, while we are on the earth, we are the main characters in Acts 29. The stuff that Jesus did by His Holy Spirit on the earth in the book of Acts, He still wants to do today. It's the same Jesus, it's the same Holy Spirit, He's still at work, and He wants to move in power through His church the same today as He did in the book of Acts. But in order for that to happen, we need to be ready and willing to function not according to our strength or our wisdom or our abilities only, but to function in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need to be willing, as we said last week, I talked about one of my pet peeves, if you remember, that we often hear said that God won't give me more than I can handle. How many find you pretty much always are given more than what you can handle? And that without Jesus, you'd be in trouble, right? Scripture doesn't say God won't give us more than we can handle. It says that we won't be tempted or tested beyond what we can endure, and that He will give us a way of escape. Totally different subject. But God will give you on a daily basis more than you can handle, because He wants you to trust in His power, in His wisdom, in His strength. And Jesus, in talking to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 6, says this phrase, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit." In other words, what we can do in our flesh, we will produce fleshly results. If we do, If we do ministry in the flesh, we will produce fleshly results. If we try to manage, if we try to organize and try to do ministry in that way alone, then we will have a managed organization, but it'll be a fleshly thing. Spirit gives birth to spirit. What we do in the anointing and power of the Spirit will be spirit-breathed, spirit-empowered results. Right? It's kind of like those of us who are following the scripture reading plan that we're going through together would have recently read the book of Joshua, and if you remember in Jericho, right, they Joshua goes out for a walk. And he encounters on his walk the commander of the Lord's army. Most commentators, most Bible scholars believe that was a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ. It was Jesus, commander of the Lord's army, showed up and gave Joshua the instructions on how they were going to defeat the city of Jericho. March once a day around the city for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around seven times, blow the trumpet, let out a big shout, and the walls come down. And Joshua does, you know, he thinks it's a little crazy, I'm sure, but he's obedient, and they do what the Lord said, and exactly what God said happens. And a result that Israel could never have accomplished is accomplished by the power of God, right? This was the most fortified city in the whole region of Palestine. And they would not have been able, with their lack of military training and lack of siege tools and so on, they would not have been able to destroy the city and take the city. But God did what they could not do because they were obedient and made room for the power of God. And then the next thing they do is they say, well, that was okay, that was easy. So this little town over here, we can take that no problem. And they send a bunch of people to go and take the town, and they get their hinies kicked. And some people die, and God has to correct them. But what a difference when we do things in the power of God, or we do things because we think we had a meeting and we said, hey, this is a good idea, let's do this. Right? It's a big difference. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. What we do in our strength and our ability is produce human results. What we do in the power and the anointing of God produces supernatural results. 1 Corinthians 12, verse going down to verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Notice the Trinity in those verses. The Spirit, the Lord, speaking of Jesus, and God speaking of the Father. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them each to each one as he determines. Now, we don't have time, we're not planning to walk through all of those today. In fact, we're not going to walk through them in detail even in this series, because it's not quite what we're doing in this series. But we're going to go after groups of them a little bit in the next two messages. But this particular list of gifts of the Spirit is not meant to be a comprehensive, in other words, these are the only gifts of the Spirit. Because there are actually other lists in the New Testament that share about the gifts of the Spirit, and some of them share one or two different ones. And so none of the lists are meant to be, here are all the gifts of the Spirit. The point is, the Spirit of God wants to work in and through our lives in supernatural ways to do what you can't do in your strength. That's the point. Is that God doesn't want to build his kingdom on your smarts and mine. He doesn't want to build it on your strength and mine or your abilities and mine. He wants to build it on the anointing and power of his Spirit. And he wants a people who are willing to jump into the deep end and say, I can't do this, but I'm willing to let God use me and see what will happen. Because God will take willing people, whether they think they're gifted or not, whether they are gifted or not, he will take willing people and anoint them with the power of his Spirit to do beyond what they can imagine. It's the point of the gifts of the Spirit. And so it says here, to each one. To each one. Manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good to each one. Everyone is meant to function in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. The church is meant to be naturally supernatural. The natural condition of the church should be supernatural. The natural condition of the believer should be supernatural. We are called to be, we should be, if we're normal Christians, we should be going into our day saying, Holy Spirit, what are you going to do through my life that will blow my mind today? What are you going to do through me that I could never do in myself? Who are you going to use me to speak an encouraging word that could turn the trajectory of their life from destruction to life? In fact, in Mark 16, in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, Jesus, on his way out of this world, says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Not those who are special, not those who, you know, meet some criteria, those who believe. Any believers in the house today? Right? These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. there's some weird theologies that have come out of this verse about handling snakes and all kinds of weird stuff. That is not the point of this passage at all. It just means they will walk into danger and the Holy Spirit will protect them, right? These signs will accompany those who believe. It's not for televangelists. It's not for pastors. It's not for super spiritual people. But anyone who trusts God today and understands that he's the same God today as he was yesterday, as he was back when Scripture was written, and understands that the world is just as much in need of the grace and power of God today as it was back then, all of us are candidates. And there are a variety of gifts needed. God wants to use all of us in unique ways. In the last couple of centuries, it seems that it was a man or woman of God for a season that would be raised up to have a really powerful ministry, a really supernatural ministry, and people would get healed. And you've got your John G. Lakes and your Catherine Kuhlmans and all these people who would be raised up by God to have supernatural ministries, and powerful things would be accomplished. Thousands upon thousands of people healed and lives transformed. But I really believe that the day of the superstar is done. That God is not in this season about raising up a man or a woman. He's about raising up a people. And I believe that in this season, God wants to see his people, the anointing come on his sons and daughters in these last days, on all of us. And that we would be a supernatural people that would do supernatural works. Bathurst needs it. The Shallur region needs a supernatural people. To each one, verse 7 says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Manifestation means an event, action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something abstract or theoretical. It makes visible something that you can't see. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit is seen on the earth today when God's people go out in the power of the Spirit and do the works of the Spirit. Then the world can see that there is a God in heaven. The world can see that the Spirit is at work. The things that we do are a manifestation of the Spirit. We are called to make the invisible kingdom of God visible, the invisible power of the Spirit visible, the invisible grace of Jesus visible, the invisible love of the Father visible. We are meant to manifest the kingdom of God, the presence of God on the earth by the things that we do. Jesus came to manifest the Father in the world. How did he do it? By loving and healing broken people, broken lives, broken bodies. By speaking words of life and by serving with kindness. How will we manifest the kingdom of God on earth? By doing all those same things. By seeing people healed and set free and delivered, by serving people with supernatural love, by speaking words of life. And this says that these are various forms of the same Spirit. Various forms of the same Spirit. Spiritual gifts. Every time someone's life is changed by a prophetic word, by a healing miracle, by anything that is done by the power of the Spirit. It is a manifestation of who the Spirit is. And it's for the common good. Manifestation to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What does that mean? Well, certainly not selfishly or for personal gain. The point of the anointing of the Spirit is to serve other people. As soon as we start getting a superstar mentality, like, I need to be somebody special because, hey, I prayed for that person and they were healed, we're in trouble. God doesn't share his glory, right? And so, first of all, it's not about us. But it is about love. 1 Corinthians 13, the 13th chapter, is sandwiched right in between chapter 12 and chapter 14. And sometimes, you know, we pull that chapter out as if it has nothing to do with chapter 12 and 14. We use it, it's just a really nice wedding chapter, right? And it's all right to use it for a wedding, but that's not what 1 Corinthians 13 is about. It's about doing the works of God in love. And if we are not motivated by love, if the point of being a church anointed and empowered by the Spirit of God is so we can build a big name for evangel, we can be better than all the other churches. If that's the point, then we have totally missed the heart of God. The point of the gifts of the Spirit is love for people who need the presence of Jesus in their lives. The point is love. And we can, 1 Corinthians 13 says, we can speak in the tongues of men and angels, but if we don't have love, we are nothing. We can speak words of prophecy, but if it's not in love, it's worthless. We can, in the power of the Spirit, give our bodies to be burned, it says, like be martyred. And if it's done out of having a name for ourselves, it's nothing. Our motivation must be the love of God. And so Jesus calls us today to not be a church that simply has great systems, although we will have great systems, or that is well organized, and hopefully we will be well organized. But first, he calls us to be a church empowered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. First and foremost. It's a close with this little image. Anybody grow tomatoes? Right? So when you grow tomatoes, I don't know if this is what you do here, but you know, my experience, when you grow tomatoes, if you want those nice big juicy tomatoes, right? You need to do something to support the plant, because as soon as you get a nice big tomato, it just falls over, right? So you put a little cage around it, or you tie something, you know, a stake to it, or you do something to support the tomato plant, right? You use structure to support the life. But wouldn't it be silly if you put the cage around the tomato and then you said, man, I really like that cage. It's a really nice cage. What's that thing doing in the middle of my cage? And you pull out the tomato plant. Man, I've got a nice garden of cages. That'd be pretty silly, wouldn't it? But the point of the structure is to support the life. The point is not the structure, the point is the life. And so many times our organization systems become about what we're focused on. Wow, we've got a great organization, we've got great systems. But the point, we've missed the point if that's what we're enamored with, if that's what we're excited about. We missed the point. The point of organization is to support the life of the Spirit, not the other way around, right? So we desperately need the life, anointing, and power of the Spirit of God. Let's stand. This message is true on a big scale. It's true of us as a church. But here's the deal. If the church is us, right? The church is us. So we can't say, well, you know, our church has gotten its focus on management instead of manifestation. Our church has got its focus on organization instead of the anointing and power of the Spirit. Because the church is us. And the only way the church gets its eyes off of what Jesus wants us to be doing and how he wants us to do it is if we get our eyes off of the fact that Jesus calls you to be an anointed, Spirit-empowered servant of God. If you see yourself as just a cog in the organization, and we all see ourselves that way, then guess what? We're going to be a bunch of cogs in a machine. But if you see yourself as a Spirit-called, anointed person, and when the Scripture says to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, you say, you can put your name in there. Right? To Suzanne. To Junior, to Denise, to Believe, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. When we get that and we say, okay, count me in, I'm going to get out of the wading pool and I'm going to jump in the deep end. We got enough people that say, hey, I want to be a part of the move of God in this region. Then our church will get its eyes off of management and get its eyes on manifestation. You understand what I'm saying? It's about us. It's not about an organization. It's about us. And so, Jesus, we hear your words to the church in Ephesus. To repent and do what we did at first, because God, so often we have lost our first love. So often we have been satisfied with an organized life, an organized church, and not been ready and attentive and willing to be led and empowered by your Spirit in the things that we do. So God, we repent today. We repent today from lives of organization. And God, we want to have lives of anointing. We want to jump in the deep end today. God, cause us to be those who manifest your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.